From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The text is verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Having brought Israel safely through the Jordan, the Lord immediately led them into a great crisis. He set before them the city which was the most heavily fortified in all the ancient world. And if that were not enough, the Lord gave them a great command, which seemed to make no sense militarily. They were to march around Jericho once each day for 6 days, and 7 times on the 7th day, and then they were to shout, and God said the walls would fall down. In the face of this seeming impossibility, the Lord gave His people great confidence to believe His promise. Among other encouragements, the captain of the Lord of hosts appeared to Joshua and promised victory. All who name the name of Christ have their own Jerichos to face, but the Son of God has promised His presence to the end of the age. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message called Sin's Strongholds Fall Before Faith. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 45 and verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. The entire person of Jesus is but as one gem, and His life is all along but one impression of the seal. He is altogether complete, not only in His several parts, but as a gracious, all-glorious whole. His character is not a mass of fair colors mixed confusedly, nor a heap of precious stones laid carelessly one upon another. He is a picture of beauty and a breastplate of glory. In Him all the things of good repute are in their proper places and assist in adorning each other. Not one feature in His glorious person attracts attention at the expense of others, but He is perfectly and altogether lovely. O Jesus, Thy power, Thy grace, Thy justice, Thy tenderness, Thy truth, Thy majesty and Thine immutability make up such a man, or rather such a God-man, as neither heaven nor earth hath seen elsewhere. Thy infancy, Thy eternity, Thy sufferings, Thy triumphs, Thy death, and Thine immortality are all woven in one gorgeous tapestry without seam or rent. Thou art music without discord. Thou art many and yet not divided. Thou art all things and yet not diverse. As all the colors blend into one resplendent rainbow, so all the glories of heaven and earth meet in Thee, and unite so wondrously, that there is none like Thee in all things. Nay, if all the virtues of the most excellent were bound in one bundle, they could not rival Thee, Thou mirror of all perfection. Thou hast been anointed with the holy oil of myrrh and cassia, which Thy God hath reserved for Thee alone. And as for Thy fragrance, it is as the holy perfume, the like of which none other could ever mingle, even with the art of the apothecary. Each spice is fragrant, but the compound is divine. O sacred symmetry, O rare connection of many perfects to make one perfection, O heavenly music, where all parts do meet in one sweet strain, to make one perfect sweet.
If I could sing a thousand melodies, I'd sing and never cease how great my God. I'd sing of love, His wisdom, might, and power, each day and passing hour. I'd sing of Him. I'd climb some mountain high, I'd sing into the sky, till heaven. song. If I could sing a thousand melodies, I'd sing and never cease how great my God. And when I think that God His Son that's bearing said Him to die, I scarce can take that in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, can I but sing, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
I believe that if we will but learn, as Joshua did, to walk with our God, that we could take new ground for God, and that there would not a man be able to stand before us. The people who know how to stand before God are people who will have this experience, that they will have power with men. If you have power with God, you'll have power with men. The Church of Christ has proved that in days gone by. I think that one of the great tragedies of our age is that people have got so caught up in their little schemes of prophetic matters that they don't believe anymore that it's possible for God to send this church any mighty movements of revival. I don't believe, and I'll be perfectly frank about this, that you will Christianize the whole world prior to the coming of Christ. But I do believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ always has, always can, and always should have the power to be successful wherever a faithful people are serving the living Christ. There's not a thing in the Bible that makes me believe that Pentecost is mere history and has nothing for today. There's not a thing in the Bible that makes me believe that the Holy Spirit gave up working in the 18th century or the 19th century, and that it's wrong to expect revival in the 20th century. All those are pure, I would rather say impure, inventions of man's mind. They're impositions upon the Word of God. I've often pointed out that, and again, it has taken some mighty tricky and stupid, hate to have to say that, but it is tricky and stupid Bible exegesis to get around it. But it's very obvious from the 7th chapter of the book of the Revelation that when things are at their darkest in the earth, and the power of the beast is overrunning the earth, when persecution is rampant, when people are being put to death for the sake of the gospel, that God is working so that a great multitude which no man can number out of every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation are brought to the blood of the Lamb and gloriously saved. Now, my friend, if that can happen during the reign of Antichrist, if that can happen in the period that is normally called the Great Tribulation, if that can happen when all the furies of hell are running loose on the earth, don't tell me there is any age when the Church of Christ cannot have revival. Not a thing in the Bible to make you believe that. Not one. Oh, there are a few little texts that are taken, twisted, and perverted as if they were to mean that. But in the great scheme of God's truth, they don't mean that and can't mean that. The Holy Ghost is never on strike. The Holy Spirit's power is available to God's people. He gives them the promise. And then He gave them the confidence of clear tokens of His favor and His power. They had just come across the Jordan. Over there they had seen Og defeated. Now, and Bashan defeated. My, here you have great territories and great kings, and they are smashed by the power of God. And the Lord is telling them, there is no foe too great. There is no barrier too formidable. I'll bring you, and I'll give you the victory. Then He brought them to the Jordan River. He parted it. Now, if you'd seen the rivers of the Jordan parted when it was in spate, it was flooding its banks, you wouldn't be too worried about the walls of Jericho. The God who can part the Jordan River can flatten the walls of Jericho. The Lord gave them the confidence of tokens of power and favor. That's one reason why it is always good for the people of God to cast their mind back. Last week I was preaching from Paul's words, forgetting those things that are past. There are things that you must forget in the past. But as I pointed out then, there are things you must not forget in the past. The story of God's mighty acts. That's a story that you should always call to your mind. You should always be going over in your mind what God hath wrought in the past. The biblical history is a history that you should be thoroughly familiar with. The weakness of God's people in their faith is in direct proportion to their ignorance of the Word of God. Why, you should saturate your soul in the mighty acts of God in Scripture. You should be a person given to reading. You should read the histories of God's church. You should read the biographies of God's men. You should read the stories of God's acting, God at work. The first thing that will happen is you'll have new confidence in prayer, new confidence in witnessing, new confidence in standing. People think, for instance, that this age in which we live is altogether unique because of its badness. Well, now this age certainly is waxing worse and worse. Anybody who feels that the world's getting better, I think, needs to get a change of glasses. It's certainly not getting better. But the basic problems spiritually of this age can be traced in former times. I remember when I was reading Dalimore's Life of Whitfield, one of the most striking things, and I actually outlined these at the beginning of the volumes. One of the most striking things was a parallel, point after point, between the times before the revival under Whitfield and the times in which we're living. You look at the times in which we're living in isolation and you say, well, what can be done? But you look at those times in the light of what God has done in similar times, and you'll find that gives you tremendous confidence to what the Lord is able to do. But that's not enough. In chapter 5 of Joshua, in verse 9, you find that he brought God, his people, to an up-to-date obedience. That was the blessing they needed to have. He brought them to Gilgal. Circumcision was renewed. The covenant was restored. This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. There had been slackness and backsliding. Things that were important had been allowed to slip. The covenant marked by circumcision was just a thing of the past. Before God could bring this people into blessing, he had to bring them personally into an up-to-date obedience to God. Their spiritual experience couldn't be merely historical. They couldn't be looking back and saying, well, that's what we once were. There is no possibility of a church that's merely looking back to what it once was ever doing anything great for God until, first of all, it's brought to what it ought to be now. Maybe you're in this meeting this morning. Your Christianity really goes no further than what you once knew. The reproach of Egypt, your contact with the world, needs to be rolled away. There needs to be a circumcising of the heart, a cutting away of the will of the flesh, the application of the sharp edge of the knife of God's Word to the flesh. Yes, there needs to be a renewal of covenant vows. There needs to be a restoration by covenant grace. God does not use for any great work and any lasting purpose a worldly people. It's worldliness that has cursed the church. It's worldliness that has driven God's people from blessing to blight and from fullness to famine. It's worldliness that is allowing the devil to run rampant through the nation without any effective witness being raised. It is worldliness that is filling the pews with empty professors and sending men to hell without a real knowledge of Christ, but with an acceptance in the church. And I tell you, we must get to Gilgal. When you get to Gilgal, God gives you a confidence of what He's going to do. That was followed by the Passover. Immediately, verse 10 and verse 11, He brought them to a renewed experience and enjoyment of their redemption. When you get to Gilgal, then you'll be able to enjoy Christ. The Passover will speak to us of Christ. Now there are Christians. Maybe you're one of them. You say, I'm saved. I have trusted Christ. But I'm not enjoying. I'm not enjoying what I have in Christ. In fact, as I have pointed out many times, one of the tragedies of our age is that many Christians don't even know what they have in Christ. The whole purpose of the pulpit has been subverted. The basic purpose of the Christian ministry is to preach Christ so that God's people know what they have in Christ. And when they know that and feel that and enjoy that, they'll be able to do the work of Christ. There's nothing will help the evangelism of the church or the stand of the church more than this. But God's people don't enjoy Christ because they don't so often know what's in Him. When the Lord renews your experience of Christ, then He gives you confidence of what He's going to do. And then immediately they enjoyed Christ. I want you to see what happened. He let them taste the fruit of Canaan, chapter 5 and verse 11. He let them taste the fruit of Canaan. And the immediate result of that would be a desire for the fullness of the land. And then most importantly, at the end of chapter 5, as we read this morning, they're about to go into battle. They need confidence. How does the Lord give it to them? The Lord showed them their true commander. The captain of the Lord's host was there, none other than the Son of God Himself. For Joshua fell down and worshipped Him, and he said, as Jehovah did at the burning bush, put your shoe off from off your foot, for the ground in which you're standing is holy. Joshua, not knowing at first who he was, says, are you for us? It's wonderful to know that God is for us. But there's something even more wonderful. The Lord says to Joshua, it's not a matter of, am I for you? The matter is this, I am come as the captain of the Lord's host. I am come as the prince. I am come as the great commander. The question is, are you for me? That's the all-important thing.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.